Welcome. You are listening to our panel discussion for the Lord's Battle Axe Youth Sunday. Listen and be blessed.
I remember what we spoke about vividly, and I'm just going to ask the question. How are we with our New Year resolutions?
It's in progress.
That was what we discussed last time, our New Year resolutions. So this is April. April is almost over. If you've not been following up, if you've not been acting, you still have a few months to go. When there is life, there is hope, and then you can do it. So don't give up. So,
Dayo,
how are you doing with your own resolutions?
Thanks to the reminder. There's this part I've not started working on, but I'll get ready for summer. Don't worry.
Okay.
Summer body.
Okay. All right. So, this is I have a very short story. So in my house, I try to make sure that everybody wears socks. It's just me. I'm like that. Wear socks. I don't want to see anyone working without socks. So that inclusive of my daughter, of course. So one morning, I didn't know she was up. So I quickly dashed downstairs to drink water. I wasn't wearing socks. She allowed me to finish drinking my water. And you know, as I was climbing up, she goes, "Daddy, I have a question." "Okay. You said everybody should wear socks. Why are you not wearing your socks?" And actually, I was going to try to start to explain. And then the Nigerian man in me kicked in. "Why am I going to be explaining to you? Who are you?" You know. But this happened a few months ago. But this just lets you know that actually stuck with me. And if at all I'm leaving my room to go out and I'm not wearing socks, I take the pain to go back and wear it before I move. So that this short story is segueing to what we're about to discuss today. Hypocrisy. Being an hypocrite. Dayo, who would you say an hypocrite is?
I think I would say an hypocrite is someone who gives a false appearance, I would say. I think an example that comes to my mind would be, I mean, I'm not saying all actors are hypocrites, right? But I'm just looking at those people who act movies. You know, they just come with a character and that's what they will do. Sometimes they do it so well that when we see them outside, we refer to them as that character. So I think that's what like hypocrisy looks like. You are something else, but you are presenting a false appearance.
You're right, you know. You watch some movies and then you actually don't even know the real names of the actors,
yeah,
right?
You call them by the name.
Makes a lot of sense. So is it safe to say an hypocrite is someone that will say, "Do as I say, don't do as I do"?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, hypocrisy, just like we mentioned, is a false appearance. So doing as I say, not as I do, will be one of the characteristics of an hypocrite. Like, just like you made the example you cited, you know, teaching people something this way, but you're acting differently. You're trying to lead people to do these things, but you are caught actually not doing that. No, you are doing completely the opposite of that thing.
Fantastic. And I believe the Bible touches on hypocrites. Do you have any example that readily comes to mind?
Of course, there are lots of examples. I think one that comes to my mind would be the story of Ananias
and Sapphira.
That's the story that comes to my mind. Where, of course, we all know the story where they had sold a property and they took some money to church. The hypocrisy comes in when they started lying about the whole thing.
Okay.
And I think that brings me to another characteristics of an hypocrite. You want to appear big, or you just want people to applaud you for something. Because when you look at that story vividly, there was no reason to lie. I mean, okay, you can just go give the
whatever you want to give.
But he lied. Oh, sir, we sold this land. We have taken nothing out of it. This is everything. So to me, he wanted some. Oh wow, that's great! Like you give everything. So he brought something bad on himself. I mean,
he did.
Yeah.
So he said that as they were also working for the church, they must have been preaching, don't lie, don't do this, don't do that. And then they in turn went in, you know, in the presence of the man of God and lied. And then their judgment was...
It was instant.
I think another example that also comes to mind readily would be the Pharisees and the tax collector as well. You know, I think for the Pharisees, even aside that story, remember when the woman that was dubbed being the adulteress, right? And she was running, they were about to stone her, and then you know she met Jesus. And if you remember what Jesus wrote on the ground, he says, "He without sin should cast the first stone." And one by one, they started turning back. So I think now we can now make this, you know, let's bring it to our modern day, and let's look at examples in our real life scenario. So I think we want to start off with hypocrisy at home. Now, we're also going to be asking questions, just like we did the last time. We're just going to be asking questions so that we can all discuss together. It's our youth week, so we are running the show how we want. So if I point at you, it's just the leading. All right, so question I have here is it okay for a Christian man, I'm talking about male, a Christian man, which is the only one we know, to preach love, right? And to, you know, continuously ask women to submit, you know? And the other part of it, of that old scripture that says you should love your wife as Christ loved the church, do we think that that's hypocrisy? Do you want me to repeat that again? So you have a man, a married man. You know, it's always good to preaching to people, preaching to women, you know, submit to your husband, you know, all of that. He's going to be telling his fellow brethren to that they should make sure their wives submit and all that. And him as an individual, as a preacher of the word or as a man or a man of God, whatever it is, he's not loving his wife and his family like Christ loved the church. Do we think that's hypocrisy? I'm only hearing women talk, though, but I'm not even hearing it. So we agree. Okay. Anyone want to tell me why I should agree with that opinion? I mean, a lot of women said yes, so... Okay, thank you.
Hi, good morning, everybody. So to answer the question, I think you should lead by example. That sums it up. Because if you are telling me to not do A, let's say for instance, I'm telling my kids no phone on the dining table, right? And for some reason my phone is with me. I'm not leading by example. So they're gonna have something to want to tell me on the dining table with their phone. The same thing applies to the man. If the man is telling the fellow men, don't do this or that, and he is not in turn doing what he's telling them to do, he's an hypocrite. It could be either way, but for the man, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm just going to ask again, do we all agree? Are we sure? Not sure? I'm not hearing any resounding yeses.
Yes.
Okay. So another question. So is it okay for a woman to preach being a Proverbs 31 woman? Pray, you have to wake up, take care of your family, you have to do this, you have to pray, you have to cook, you have to do this, you have to do this. You're advising your fellow women. And you, in turn, you don't have time for your family. Is that person a hypocrite? I thought I was even going to hear more of men, but I think women are the ones also... Okay, let me ask men. Men, do we feel that woman has been a hypocrite? A few men, I'm just saying a few men. Maybe because our women are beside us, we don't want to really respond. I will understand because
there's no lunch today.
Because maybe before I even answer, I will take a look at my wife first before I answer. So I'll probably understand. So, but for some of us, I've said yes. Why? I'm going to make this particular question. I'm going to fine tune it a bit. So, remember the story of the mother of Samuel, and just this is me just tweaking it a little bit. You know, you have a wife that is all. She's the prayer warrior, which is good. I don't have anything against that. She prays all the time and all of that. But, you know, that Proverbs 31 woman is, it captures a whole lot, right? There is the prayer side of it, and there's the actual taking care of the family side. Now, if that same woman is preaching, being a Proverbs 31 woman, being ready to take care of the family and all of that, and she's praying a lot, and she's not taking care of her family, do we still feel that that woman has been a hypocrite, even though she's always praying, she's always in church and all that? Do we? We still feel she's a hypocrite, but she's praying, or she's praying to God. Anyone wants to really talk? I mean, we're ready to give you the mic. If you really want to talk, explain. Hands, anybody? Should I call? Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there has to be a balance, right? It's not just about praying. Like you said, praying is good. But there's that balance of being able to take care of your family. The Proverbs 31 woman was also very industrious. She was a businesswoman as well. So it's finding that balance to be able to do everything that you have to do. If we couldn't do it, it wouldn't be in the Bible. Now, the hypocrisy comes in where you're advising someone else that this is what they should be, knowing full well that this is not what you are. So it's about removing the log in your eye and actually self-examining yourself and ensuring that, okay, I'm meeting all of these things that I need to meet. And to be fair, the balance is not easy, especially for women, because there's always so many balls in the air that we try to juggle and try to balance. But it's about continuously examining yourself, seeing where you're falling short, and then trying to, you know, as in balance it out, basically, and do what you need to do. So praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. So just to maybe follow up with what she said, another question still. Don't worry, it's not a controversial one. How do we have suggestions or ideas on how to balance it?
I have.
Thank you, ma'am. No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
But the
fine.
Suggestion is, you bring your husband into it. My husband washed the dishes, put out the garbage. We work together as a team. And that's how you balance it out if you're married. If you're single, it's different, but if you're married, and you train the children to help.
Fantastic.
And that's what I do in my home. And so it works. It's a unity, it's a community in the home, everyone helping. And then when you speak to other women and tell them stuff, you tell them that too, not just do this, do that. You give the example of what is going on in your home. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. So that kind of answers that. So maybe the third one is, I don't know whether to put this as a question or maybe just to make it as a statement. When you have parents, now we're not talking about the man or the woman now, we're talking about the parents. It could be either one, it could be both of them. To warmly greet someone, you see somebody, oh, you're all smiles, you're happy, you know, and as soon as the person leaves, I've not finished though.
We know.
And as soon as the person leaves, you speak despicable things, maybe not despicable, but negative things about the person in the presence of your children. Is that hypocrisy?
100%.
So is it more resounding? Yes. So now, I guess the question is, as Christians, we're supposed to love everybody, love your neighbors, you love yourself. But if you're not really enjoying or you don't really like that person, I mean, it's okay. You can't particularly love everybody. But if you don't really like, do you need to pretend, shine your teeth, you know, pretend that you really, really like the person, say all kind of good stuff about the person when you don't even want to be where they are.
That's the definition of what we're discussing, like hypocrisy. I mean, I believe it's okay. We can, of course, like you mentioned, we can't be like that close friends with everyone, but we can, you know, see each other, say hello, and that's it. Right? But trying to show more love than you actually love the person, to me, is hypocrisy. You all smile, and the moment the person leaves, just go away. Like, you even say some, like, stuff about the person, like, why is she smiling so hard like that? You don't need to go to, I mean, just say hello and move on. Just say hello, but if you are now putting up a performance, then that's actually, exactly what we are discussing. That's hypocrisy.
That's awesome. Thank you. So, this is an open question to the house. Do we have, in the family, do you have an example of what you probably call hypocrisy or a hypocritical situation at home that you feel like, you know, something that we as Christians should watch out for? It may be some things we do unconsciously, right? Because like last example I just made now, you know, some people do it unconsciously. The person goes and you're like, just say some small, you know, words that really are derogatory, right? But you've done it unconsciously. So do we have like examples of hypocritical situations where, you know, things you may do at home that you wouldn't even count as being hypocritical, but in all honesty, they are? Do we have any examples that we want to share? All right, sorry, the mic. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I think for me, I'm not going to lie, I think it's screen time. I'm always on my kids' case about leave your phone. You don't have to be on it all the time. Why can't you find something else to do? But I'm always on my phone.
Okay.
So, and to be fair, when I'm saying it to them, I'm kind of mentally checking myself. But my excuse is that I have a lot to do and everything is on my phone. Is on my phone. But yes, that's what I would call hypocrisy, you know, as in if we're telling them to do something, like someone said earlier, telling them maybe no phones at the dining or no screen time before this time, it's important that we practice it so it's a habit in the house and it's not that mommy and daddy are allowed to do, because kids of these days, they will question you and say, oh, it's not fair. My kids tell me all the time, it's not fair, but you can, why can't I? I'm like, well, no, mates. But they don't care. So it's about, you know, just forming habits that even you yourself can abide by so that they can see it and live by example. Praise
Thank
the
you.
Lord.
Thank you very much.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I beg to differ a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of things to tell our kids that we don't do. I'm encouraging my son to be a medical doctor. I'm not. I don't know whether I would call it hypocrisy. I don't know. Because the emphasis have been telling your children, telling your wife or whatever. I encourage my wife to be a doctorate degree holder. I'm not thinking of being one. Now, for me, I think if we'll emphasize on hypocrisy, there is one particular thing we'll be talking about, something that is absolutely negative. You know that this thing is not right. You are not doing it, not when something is positive. Because I can encourage you on something I know psychologically I can't carry. I don't do it. But I wish you can be doing that. I have a lot of my friends, if you see some of my friends back home, a lot of them smoke. But the last thing I can do is to put a cigarette on my mouth. But when you want to talk to them about that, they only have their own reasons. But inside me, I know I push it to you that this thing is not right for you to do. So emphasizing more on negative things that we don't do to other people not to do them, I think that is where I emphasize on hypocrisy. But talking about something that is beneficial, if we're talking about our kids, there's a lot of things I know I can't do because of my orientation, where I come from. They are better off. So if I emphasize on you to do them, you don't need to question me. Because I know it's good for you. You wouldn't know that it's good for you till you get to my age. So for the mommy that is talking about her baby, talking about her phone, they don't need to. When they get to your age, they can use the phone the way you are using it. But as for now, they don't need it because you have to take them off. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I just want to add that when it comes to hypocrisy at home, I personally encourage brushing your teeth before you go to bed. But I don't know, for some reason, I don't do it. But my so my kids, each time they'll be like, my oldest is turning 15 in May, so he'll be like, he's a man. He's even, I don't know. But he'll be like, Mom, why do you always tell us to brush our teeth? You know, brush. I'm like, don't use that tone, but this is how my voice is. You know, I'm not. I said, yeah, I know. But don't worry, I'm going to use my mouthwash. And he's like, okay, guys, Mom said we're using mouthwash today. I'm saying, no, brush your teeth. And so I feel for that. It's kind of me being a hypocrite because I know it's healthy. It's positive, like our brother rightly said. But for some reason, I don't know if it's because, I don't know, I don't do that. So I'm honestly working on that. Not for myself, to be honest, because of them. Because I don't want to be answering questions that, you know, that will make me kind of want to throw my hand like you are being disrespectful, which they are not. They are simply asking, right? So that is one. And secondly, when it comes to when I want to say, okay, it's time to clean, there is a way I want them to arrange their dresser and all of that. But for my dresser, especially when I'm rushing, I just put things and all of that. So when I come back, I'm rushing. But for them, before we leave, I'm like, okay, no, fix it. But Mom, your dresser is in a mess. You said you're going to fix it when you get back. Why can't we do that? So I don't know. It's, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm visiting today, but you know, this is I'm a speaker. That's my first. So the thing is, when I was young, I used to do certain things. Before I knew the Lord, I used to do certain things. And I tell them what I used to do, and they go, I said, I do it no more. The things I used to do, I do need no more. This is my life now. This is how we live now. So some of us, when the teenagers or the young children, when I see them do things I used to do, I just turn my face and I laugh because I used to do that. But as I say, as you change your life, you show the example. Another example we have in our home, unless you're married, you can't sleep together in our home. And a lot of people go against it. But that's our Christian value. We do not want a man and woman that's not married sleeping together in our home. And we get flack for it, but we carry it through. Because when your life is changed, your example in life to your children, to others, change too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
Praise the Lord. One thing I've learned about hypocrisy is that we always make excuses for ourselves. We always like to think that the other person is in a different situation, even though sometimes they are, and it can't always work for you and them. The solution can't always be both ways, but we always like to make excuses. I remember one time, me and my brother were having an argument, and I said something to him, and then he's like, okay, sure. And then the next time he would say like the same thing to me, I took offense. I was like, you can't say that. He's like, we're in the same situation. I'm like, no, I'm a girl. You're a guy. It's different. You can't say that. But it's the same situation sometimes, but other times it's not. The same solution can't work for both sides. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. I pray, regarding our families, that God will give us the grace. Give us the direction on how to bring our kids up in the way that they should go. I don't think I've ever, even at a young age, questioned my dad before. You know, and the way they ask questions, right? You start to shalaye, like, just start explaining, you know. But, I mean, God will give us that grace.
Amen.
So, moving on from the family, we'll quickly look at hypocrisy at work. Dayo, what would you feel is an example of being a hypocrite at work?
I mean, I would say not exactly leading by example at work. You know, probably asking the team to do something and you're actually not doing. Or you perhaps even lie to the team that this is what you do, but they found out that you actually don't do that. So that could be a form of hypocrisy. Another form of hypocrisy that comes to my mind would be You know, at work, we do this performance evaluation and all that, right?
Another
form of hypocrisy I see there is perhaps reaching out to someone who is probably not directly supervising you, but I can just give you positive feedback or truth. Because you know you've not really, you know, done much that would... The true reflection of your performance, if given by, you know, your direct line supervisor or manager, would not really help you. So you go to someone else who can just help you put positive or truth. So that's another form of hypocrisy.
I totally agree. And it reminds me of something... when I used to work in Nigeria, while I was working in a bank, and when you get at the end of the year, you know, you have customers that will give you a hamper, that will give you a bag of rice in some cases, give you chicken and all that, and obviously they do it to everybody that has been influential to their businesses, but there is always there's a policy in the bank. It says that for some gifts above a certain threshold, you're supposed to declare it. And technically, you're supposed to tell the bank, this person gave me this gift because it's above the threshold. Take. That's the policy. And the threshold is, I mean, I would say that it's pretty okay. But I find that some team members would, they're always quick to remind you to declare when somebody gives you, and when they receive, same, you will not know. They will hide it. So I feel, or rather, maybe the question is that, would we say that is also hypocrisy?
I believe it is. I mean, when you are telling people to do something,
I'm not doing it,
and you're not doing it, I think it is hypocrisy.
And maybe another example as well for people that work retail. I did retail too when we first came here. At the end of the day, when you're balancing your till, you have overages. Policy is when you have an overage, you declare it. You may be a child of God, as you should be, and declare it. But then you have a supervisor that is supposed to lead by example. And when it's time for him to close the till, he pockets the overage. That's also another example of hypocrisy, because hypocrisy at the end of the day, right, even though there is a difference between, just like our brother said, right, when you're encouraging somebody to do something right, you know, especially, I mean, let's even take our kids out of it, there's always a need to encourage people to do something right, but when you are all about do it, and you yourself, the same rule or law applies to you, and you're not doing it, I feel that you're being hypocritical in that situation. So, question to the house: in our places of work, do we want to share examples of hypocritical situations where? Okay, already have a hand. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm not sharing. I just want to ask a question. What happens to shortages? You talked about overage.
Shortages, you declare as well.
Okay, so when you declare it, what happens?
Nothing.
Okay, that's fair. Because I know in Nigeria, sometimes they deduct it from your pay.
Knowing where you worked and where I worked, yes, you're right.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, the person is thinking, if they are going to deduct this thing, don't I keep this one aside so that
keep
when they
ahead.
Deduct you, sure thing.
Then that's stealing.
I would say that, I mean, he also worked in a bank, and honestly, we've seen, just like, I've seen examples of those, you know. There are people, and to be fair, right, some organizations, some supervisors, because it's not a function of the organization, actually. Even looking at the bank as well, in case we have anybody that works in the bank, there is a procedure, there's a policy for it. Even if you're here, you're working retail, if you have some theft, there is operational guideline, operational procedure. You're not expected to pay out of your pocket. But your supervisor, being I don't want trouble for myself, they would, if it's something they can't really ascertain where the loss is from, they would ask all the tellers. They would take money from all the tellers. This is one of the situations where we have back home, But honestly, if they also want to be true to the policy, they are supposed to declare it, and that is supposed to be it, and let investigation, internal control, or whatever, loss prevention, whatever it's called, to take precedence or that. But it is what it is. And that is why we are children of God, so that we learn how to do better. So any other example?
Yeah. Let's bring it down to Canada, because we're not in Nigeria now. Now, it may sound somehow, but I want to assure you that one of the ways we survive, or people survive here, is eye service, which is hypocrisy. Right? It sounds somehow, but it's everywhere. Let me give you an instance. I used to work in one of these places. There is time frame for what you're supposed to do, and I have a better speed. You finish on time, they give you more work. You finish, they give you more. You finish, they give you more. But I have this Filipino person that they say you work smart. I started learning from that small boy that you work smart. What do they call working smart? Something you can finish in 20 minutes. You drag your leg and finish it in 1 hour. They pay you the same. But you're trying to be honest and they want to show your muscles, stuff like that. To some extent, it's hypocrisy. And you are done with what you're doing. The supervisor is coming, you start being busy unnecessarily. And they enjoy it here. Trust me, if you can do that, you'll be in a job as long as you want to be. You can't take it off from here. But one way or the other, I think the right thing for us to do is always apply what he said, the strategy. If there is anything others are doing and you know the best way for them to get it right, you just walk accordingly. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Our pastor has an opinion on what our brother just said.
Praise the Lord. When I was new in Canada, I read a book. I think I still have that book. It didn't make much sense to me then, because the guy that wrote the book happens to be one of my colleagues in Athanderson then. What was he saying? He said, if you don't work for others, you cannot work for yourself. And you, I mean, if you apply our God's own country mentality, you will say, what are these people talking about? But you see, in the place of being smart, many of us will destroy our potentials. Mm. And that's why many of us, the businesses we have, we cannot employ anybody. Because when you employ somebody, what will happen? They will run it down. Because they will be as smart as you are, or as you were, as the case may be. If you are in a place of work and you are honest about it, remember where God is taking you. And that's one thing I always want us to realize. You cannot become a millionaire by being an employee. Even if your income is $1 million, is this not this Canada? If your income is $1 million, how much do you pay in tax? You pay about $500,000 in tax. So what do you have left? But if you are the owner of your business and you have income of $1 million, your mortgage, your office rent, your all those things, all will be business expenses, depending on the premises you are using for your business. It is what the law says. Now, where am I going? If you are going to work for someone and you look at the future in view, the Bible says, whatsoever your hand find there to do, do it what? Do it to talk. In fact, the day you say you are leaving, they will be crying that you should not leave. Because they know others have been working smart. You have been doing what is right. But because you have a plan for what? For your future. And it's now time for you to go in and fulfill the plan for your future. You will know you have done the best that you can. When you start your own business, others will work for you. And they will work righteously. And you will prosper in that line of business. Many are times what we call being smart is, as children of God, is being foolish. We will do whatever we can now, work for 2 hours and get paid for 8 hours job, but it will show. It will, that's why some of us, when we now start our own business, the first couple of transactions we have, like they will say in Gosun country, wagba. Somebody interpret.
We defrauded.
They will defraud you. It's the principles you have laid that is working for you or against you. See, as children of God, brethren, the Christian race, I always tell us, it's not bread and butter. Look into the future. You are going to live to be 90 years old. You are working and for in that place for just 5 years, and you are cutting corners that will not make you be associated as a child of God. It will wait for you in future. They say if you pour water on the ground, you do what? Step on. It's as simple as that. The Lord will help us.
Thank you, sir. All right, so probably the last part of this. Okay. Question.
Thank you very much, Pastor. That very insightful. But I want to ask, what if your employer is also trying to dupe you? Right? Because, I mean, sometimes employers want to squeeze you. And like you said, they pay you the same thing for doing the work over and over again. Right? So you are done. Some people are still doing, you're done in 20 minutes. Someone is still taking an hour to do that same work. And they give you more. They don't pay you for the more. Right? But you do more. Now, also, we need to understand that when you are putting in that much effort to finish things quicker, it's taking from you also. It's taking your energy. You get home, you are spent. You are not even able to spend time with your children. But then, you take your time to do some of these things. You get home, you are able to do other things, maybe apply to better opportunities and stuff. Now, something happened in my place of work, right? I get paid a particular amount and a premium. And last year, they were going to increase the minimum wage, and I was excited. They are increasing minimum wage. I was working so hard, as in I was competing with people that were earning bonuses, even though I wasn't earning bonuses, right? And they increased the minimum wage, and I checked my pay. My pay did not increase. So what they did was, it was the same base pay, and then they sort of adjusted my premium, right? And at the end of the day, I'm earning the same thing. I didn't get an increase. I'm working and sweating and all that. At a point, I decided that it's taking a lot from me to compete, right? Why don't I work at a normal pace instead of sweating it, right? I'm still doing well in the organization. I'm still giving my best, but I'm not just killing myself for it.
In other words, you are giving your best, but you are not giving your best. That's what you just said. Now, the question you want to ask yourself is, this is where I work, right? For how long do I want to work here? That's the question that you ask yourself. For how long do I want to work in this place? Is this my ultimate? If it is not my ultimate, well, I am there. That principle does not change. Put in your best. When you put in your best, when it's time, when your time comes, the best will find you. In fact, the best will do what? Will locate you. These are principles of life. They are scriptural principles. That's why some unbelievers do very well. And you can look at somebody who is playing very smart. When I was in TD, I had staff who had been in the bank for more than 20 years. Doing what? The same job. The same job. I met them there, I left them there. They are still there. They are waiting for the day they will start. They will pay, what do they call that thing? They already qualify for pension. They are waiting for the day they will retire. They will waste 50 years of their lives because they started working there from the time they graduated from high school. Is that what you are preparing for? Is that the type of life you desire for yourself? I think you should have better goals and better visions than that. The problem with many of us is we settle for nothing. And actually, your entry level is not your ultimate. That's what we should think of. I'm going somewhere. Where I am now is a step to where I am going. And if this place discourage me to the point that I accept what I know by my standard is not acceptable, maybe God is telling me, look for another job. There's a better place for you to go to. Brethren, the principle does not change. I'm not saying you should kill yourself because of anybody's job. But the Bible passage that says, whatever, do it to the best of your ability. Put in your best. That your boss that you think does not see what you are doing, he will do what? He will vouch for you. When you now get, some of us, you get a new job, a better paying job. You need a reference. You can't go to your boss. Is that not so? You cannot, because you know the type of job you did there. You know that once it gets to him, that's the end of the job. But if you put in your best and your boss gives you a wrong recommendation, it is God that will fight him. Yes, God himself will fight him. One of my colleagues, when we were working in Lagos, we came here together. We just found out the two of us were in Canada. He worked in, is it Nestle, they call that company. So he got to Canada, he got a good job. And then, but by the time, before he got to Nestle, the place he was working, his boss told him, this one is not hearsay, told him that one of the reasons I have been dealing with you the way I was is because I was afraid you would take over my job. Why? He saw that this guy was smarter, was more qualified, than in every way. Than what, but the guy was not, the guy's ultimate was not to become supervisor. It was just an entry level for him. It's just an access into this place. I know where I'm going. And so the man who was his boss was treating him very, no problem. He got a manager's job at Nestle. He left them there. It was then the guy was now confessing that the reason I treated you the way I treated you was because I thought you would take over my job. And many of us find ourselves in that situation. Take, you know, if Abraham did not lift up his head, he would have killed his son. And he would think he was serving God. But when he lifted up his head, what did he see? He saw God's provision. Many of us are looking at our what do you call it? Is it minimum wage job? Look ahead. There is a greater provision. And you will get there. We were all in great situations in Nigeria before we got here. So wherever you are now is a step to where you are going. It's not the ultimate. Let them do whatever they want. One day, they will come to you and say, oh boy, how did you do it? Then you can share your story with them. But already where you left, you left with a testimony. And that's very important.
Thank you so much, sir.
Praise the Lord. So I just want to ask a quick question. In a situation whereby you work, you do your due diligence, I'm not talking about working smart, you know, you do what is expected of you. But inside you, I mean, you know you could do better. So what would you call that? Would you say the person is hypocritical, or how would you explain that?
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to defer to Pastor. I think I'll... So if we go, there are two sides of it. If we go with what the plain definition of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is basically living in not doing what you say, or rather having people not do what you say. You do as I say rather and not do as I do. Now, we also look at the Bible. Bible says whatever that we found to do, we should do it well. Now, what you found and what you're doing, and you're not doing it well, you know in your heart of hearts that you're not doing it well. You come to church, you pray, and you're trying to live in accordance with the word of the Lord, even though you think at the back of your mind that what you found to do, you're not doing it well. You're selective about following the scripture. You're choosing, I want to just do. I don't want to do it well. Or that's basically what it is. And honestly, it's a form of hypocrisy as it is, because you are still going to preach to people. You are still going to advise them. You are going to quote this scripture too. Whatever you found, your hands have found to do, do it well. And what you are doing, you are not doing it well. So there isn't any. I don't think it's straightforward.
In a way, I have a different perspective to that. I mean, from what he said, you are doing your job, but you just know within your mind that you could do more. So you can look at it from the perspective of talent management, which I'm not an expert in that, right? But it could be not getting enough motivation needed, maybe at work. It might not even be financial motivation. Maybe you're not having that life balance thing and all that, but you know within you could give more. So that could be something entirely different that, you know, the person needs to look at from the perspective of, you know, talent management or something.
Okay, that's also another valid one. All right, so we take this last contribution. I know we don't really have so much time.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to contribute to what our brother just, the question he asked, using myself as an example. Pastor has said it all. Wherever you find yourself and you're doing a job, do it with all your heart because of where you are going to. Praise the Lord. I remember I started, for instance, with a company that was really low there in Port Harcourt. I'm still going to talk about Canada own. And we had this job to do from ExxonMobil. I was just like a contract staff there. And because of my background, even coming from the oil and gas section, I also did programming, computer, you know, software development and the likes of it. The job we had required that profession, that particular expertise. But because we had nobody in the company that could do it, and it was not what they employed me to do, but I had that knowledge to be able to do that. So I just did it. I didn't do it because of the money. I didn't do it because of I needed any exposure or anything from anybody. But at the end of the day, because of that singular act pushed me so high, not just only in the company, even from ExxonMobil. That was how I was able to get job in ExxonMobil. No interview, nothing. Just come and start. Unlike any other people that got jobs there, they need to go through, you know, series of interview. But me, because of that programming job, they just say, come. You understand? And that was how I moved. Even from ExxonMobil, I moved to other bigger companies simply because of the fact that you do your best with all your heart. You do your work with all your heart. I started here. There was a company I started with here when I came into Canada, and this is just 3 months working for them. They carried out a review on Friday. They say, ordinarily, you've not stayed up to a year. Other people that have stayed up to a year, we just give them maybe 5, 10% increment. But you, just 3 months, we just look at what you've done. But because there is something in you that we have seen, everything you do is excellent, you still are going to be given that same percentage every other person is given. Do your best with everything you know you can. And brethren, the top is where the Lord is taking you. Hallelujah.
Hello, everyone. God bless you all. I understand everyone seems to be talking about the job, right? Well, there's different kind of jobs. It's where I learned. Are you coachable? Lord God Jesus Christ is always with you. And when you have dream, you ask yourself, why are you doing it? Are you doing it for yourself, for your family, for your livelihood, for the future? Your retirement. Are you wanna leave legacy for your family, for yourself? When you talk about job, there's different kind of jobs. I myself came to this country when I was 14 years old. I already wanted to know, well, how money works. So you see, we're all immigrants here, and we all have dreams. So when you say you have jobs, do you want to have active income? What kind of income do you want? So you ask yourself, is it active income or is it passive income? Sure, you have a job. You can have 1, 2, or 3 jobs. In my community, they're working 2, 3 jobs, right? People working during the day, working Tim Hortons, people working as a nanny and babysitting. That's a lot of income coming in, but it actually really, you know, like, takes time out of your family, out of your, for yourself. Okay, so that's as a job. What about, for example, as a self-employed, or a business owner, or an investor? So there's different kind of ways to make income. And you know that God is always going to be with you. And when you're passionate to what you do, definitely you will be successful. You just put your mind to it and you create the goals that you want for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your contribution. So quickly, just to round up, want to look, quickly talk about overcoming hypocrisy. The very first thing is you need to ask for the Holy Spirit. If you've identified a trait, something that you feel is not ideal, you know, you need to ask for the Holy Spirit to help you overcome it. You need to submit to the righteousness of the Holy Spirit. You need to submit yourself to the Lord as well to be able to overcome this. And most importantly, and this is something that you need to keep doing every single time, is to continue to seek the face of the Lord, to continue to seek to know God better. And for anyone that didn't know, it's a very dangerous thing to be a hypocrite. The Bible says there are some really hefty curses. If you even look in the book of Job, on hypocrites. And I pray that God will continue to be with us. He will continue to guide us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit of God, from this moment, will continue to help, continue to guide and direct us in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Lord's Battle Axe Youth Sunday panel discussion. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let us just stretch our hands to the servants of the Lord.